When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Muy caliente, nachos supreme, Marcos. I just want you to come without the shirt. Muy excelente, guapo, sombrero. I'm so glad I took middle school Spanish.
You know this is us when we drink in Mexico and see a hot guy.
I don't think so. I don't think it's that bad.
We're not that bad. We do hit on our servers.
Yeah, that's the game.
That part. But yes, we're not that bad. But muy caliente.
Just stop, lady. Uh-oh. Y'all don't pull over. We're got the London.
What?
Don't pull over.
What? Oh!
How did I hear that before you?
Because you're sitting by the window.
I have bat-like ears as well.
Oh, God. You're drinking tea and your eyes are crazy. You're on the last leg before you crash tonight.
I am. The jet lag's up. Yo, look, this is Below Dick.
Below Dick.
Sailing Yacht. BDSM.
We're in London town.
Jolly old London.
So we're still here. So if it sounds different, bear with us.
A foggy day in London town.
It is kind of. I mean, it's rainy.
And mysterious. Had me down.
I wish it was foggy.
That'd suddenly.
Oh, God.
I see you there.
You can't have any more tea.
Foggy day in London. Down the sun was shining everywhere.
You're going to have sex tonight, I can tell.
Yes.
It's in you tonight. Or it's going to be in you tonight.
I got the piano cat crazies.
You were making appointments while I was watching the show, weren't you?
Let's see, I can squeeze you in here.
You know, my fuck card's quite full tonight. All right, everybody. Below Deck Sailing
Yacht. You guys, if you are in, speaking of, we're in London to speak on a panel about reality TV tomorrow.
Actually, today when this airs.
Oh, fuck.
And also,
I'm not responsible for
also,
the time change.
Also, this is going to be airing in the U.S., so I think this might be on Wednesday night at like 11:30 p.m. in London, so it's all...
So never mind, our podcast meetup already happened. Maybe you can go back in time if you got a DeLorean. I can't be bothered with all of this time change.
If it wasn't for apps on my watch, I'd have to count back 8 hours every
we're
time.
We're recording for what us, it's Tuesday afternoon.
Yes, yep. It's Tuesday afternoon and back.
But the show will, you're going to get the podcast on Tuesday. Wednesday.
It's going to drop on Wednesday morning.
This is ridiculous.
Yes,
I hate this. I hate talking about it. I hate having to think about it. It makes my brain go in circles. I'm so fucking jet lagged. I don't sleep on planes. My circadian rhythms are all fucked up.
I can tell I'm fucked up too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're
11 hours different from our time.
We're a mess.
We're 8 hours different from our time.
And you know what? As I said, probably right now, if I was on that boat, some bitch would look at me and say, Yeah, you look your age. That okay. was the best line
that
of the quote.
That was one of my tea bags. And I think I just need to tell you exactly how it went.
When she said that.
Where is it? Where is it? Oh, my God. I died. Oh, here he goes. Oh. The one girl's like, how old do I look, y'all? Never give a truthful answer, no, number one.
This is a game. This is a game that everybody wants to be played. And we know this.
Don't ask your friends how old you look. You can maybe ask them to volunteer some things. If you're like, so-and-so thought I was 31. And your friend's like, oh my God, you look 31. Unless you have that bitch friend, me, who says, no, I think you're going to look your age. Y'all, that woman, she's like, how old do you think I look? She's like, I don't know, 30. Or she said, you look in your 20s. That was a lie.
That was a lie. That was a lie.
That was a bold-faced lie. But
you've got, I say you want to, depending on the friend, if they're a realistic friend, what's wrong?
No, I'm just looking outside because I hear clicking.
Oh, if you're...
my spidey senses are God. Way overtuned.
If your friend's a more realistic friend, like someone that you feel like you can be truthful with, take off 5 years. If it's someone that's completely delusional, like when Jake asks, I take off 8.
Yeah.
So that's what you want to do. As I would expect Jake to take off 8 for me, because I'm delusional about my age too. Because y'all know how much skin cream
I'm
put on.
But I'm pretty honest. I don't think you look your age.
I honestly don't think you do either. I'll be 100% honest.
Wow,
it's older. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Anyway,
no, really. So, I think you I actually think you look like you could be in your mid 30s. I mean that.
I'll take it.
I mean that. Hey. You wouldn't get so much dick if you look old and crepey. They'd be like,
"It's crepey, the old gay mascot." wave hi to crepey, gay kids.
Again, y'all.
Hey boys.
Hey boys. If poodle's right, I'm telling you, y'all. After seeing all the noses on statues in London. Poodle is royalty. I believe it 100%.
They think they're going to have the full English with me.
They do. Ooh. I'm telling you, you've got to research
That's
this.
That's what they called me in boarding school.
In boarding school.
Hello, Chauncey.
I'm telling you, we could be doing this in a castle right now. Your family's Ooh. Castle. You're not fucking the right people. Oh. You're not doing your lineage. You got to get on this
you
for
know,
me.
I could be.
We're
I
in
could,
a shoebox of a hotel
I
room.
I could be married to a lord who had, whose predecessors were Nazi sympathizers.
You could. and have a guest home in Argentina.
Oh.
Instead, we're in a shoebox of a room in London.
Y'all, I'm not lying. This room that he's in, because we're in his room, mine is a little bigger because I just opted for the bigger
bed.
Yeah, because
if it sounds like
I wasn't going to fuck in a tiny bed.
No, and if it sounds like we're doing this show under a kitchen cabinet, we basically are.
In a rat cage. Yeah.
We basically are.
The rooms are nice. They are just teeny tiny.
The bed's comfortable when I sleep. I'll get to say that.
But I just need to say, this bitch said, I think you look your age, which is 40-something. And the woman went, what?
What? Yeah, well, because she first said, you look 43. And she said, that's my age. She's like, yeah, you look your age. Push that bitch off the boat.
You might as well have slapped her across the face with a tampon.
Yes. Yes.
That is what you metaphorically did to this woman.
That is horrible. Don't find a new friend.
I agree. There's just something. I think we can be realistic about our ages, but not on that boat with a bunch of women around. That is humor. That is humor me talk.
That's a good point. There is point. We actually should. I've watched many a Dove ad commercial. We should be realistic about our ages, especially with people that we trust and feel comfortable with, because some people have a thing about it. But when you're on a fucking boat on television
with eight other women,
this is not a safe space.
No.
No.
That was not the time.
No.
That friend was insensitive.
Yes.
And she got what she did. She got a tongue lashing from that woman. Now, she was gaslit by the younger friend, too.
She was.
Who told her she was in her 20s.
She was.
I would ask, who is the worst friend here?
Is it true?
The one who fills you full of hot air or the one who deflates you with a pin?
Oh.
I don't know. I think I
enjoy
think
false
the first,
confidence.
I think the first friend might be the worst friend.
Maybe. And she's the same one that wanted Marcos in the hot tub.
I don't. They were all the same to me.
I really confused them too. I was just like, white woman.
Except for the woman who belly flopped when she owned the rope swing. I loved her because she tried her the best.
Been there. I remember, jumping off at Elephant Rock at Lake Murray in front of everybody my junior year.
But you,
we went out there for Becky Drummond's birthday party. I didn't want to get on
probably,
the boat.
You probably,
you know how I feel about boats.
You probably didn't,
or
you,
lakes.
It probably didn't hurt you so bad because you had a t-shirt on. Though.
It was cold. It was July in Oklahoma. The water was cold.
So it
y'all know
like,
I got cold when I swim.
It didn't completely chafe your belly.
No, but it did. It was a long fall, and you know when you under the water and you still hear everyone go, fuck, that it was pretty loud.
I will say, there is nothing funnier than someone belly flopping or falling into the water. Oh, I could watch an hour of that.
I love watching it, but I've been on the other side. I've been on the other side.
We had this boy who we would go to the lake with a rope swing, and he was afraid, much like Jennifer, of jumping in. He did a couple false starts.
Yeah.
And he did something that was almost similar to what she did, but he also could not swim.
Oh.
His name was Mitchell.
Like my father.
Yes. Your father couldn't swim?
No, he finally learned later in life because he got a pool, but my grandma was too scared of it. She wouldn't let any of the kids, none of them know how to swim except for my Uncle Andy, and I think Peggy got a pool and taught herself.
I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah, actually, I don't think Aunt Peggy even knows how to swim, and she has that big pool.
Why would she lost
her lip? It'd just be floating in there. She couldn't get it.
Why would a parent do that to their children?
Because my grandma Hazel, that's why they were on welfare. She was too frightened to go and work. She only worked at the Kentucky Fried Chicken across the street because she was worried somebody was going to molest her children.
Wow. Unpack that.
Yeah. Or that they go away just because she loved her father so much. And then when she was in her 20s, he was in a car wreck outside of Amarillo. A semi hit him and just killed him instantly. And she never got to say goodbye. That's absurd.
And this has been generational trauma.
That's when
Maddie and Poodle.
It's true. That's when they were on their way to California because the Dust Bowl has completely wiped out every economic thing.
I can't talk about the Dust Bowl.
Well, I'm just saying, Grapes of Wrath, y'all. Grapes of Wrath.
Have you seen that movie?
Boring.
But
I need to watch it now.
The last scene of that movie.
I should watch it now.
Where they're starving, and the woman gets out her boob to that older child.
Yeah. I remember watching it in high school, and I was very bored by it, but I was in high school.
And then at the end you went, boobs!
Boobs. Boobs, y'all!
Where was I? But I just thought that woman was... That to me was the moment of this episode.
I agree. It was my favorite moment. And then
brutality.
I wanted more from this charter. I thought they were going to be terrible.
You know what? I think they were prepared to be because these are previous charter guests. However, Marcos took such good care of these people.
Oh.
Even with tons and tons of specs for their food that were, you know.
As one sissy said, and I agree, thank God finally someone on this boat recognized the hotness that is Marcos.
Oh, I think people have said that he's hot, but these women...
No, these are the first women to, like, catcall at him like we would.
To be honest, you know, we catcall men on the show. We may throw a few epithets toward them, but I think I was most uncomfortable with her, like, broken Spanish when she was talking to him.
That was a little like...
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Like, I have no problem with women objectifying men, but there was something about it that felt... And this is me saying this, that just didn't feel good.
It was more not so much, I didn't care so much that she, I know I should, but I didn't care that she was objectifying him as much as a man, but she was objectifying or othering his culture.
Yeah.
And making assumptions about him. Like she probably thought he was Mexican or something. Like she didn't know any.
I think it goes.
I agree. It was gross.
It's a little bit back like the last chef. It's like, where's my chef?
Yeah.
That woman.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was a tea bag for me. But what's your first tea bag?
This
episode had lots of good lines for me.
It had good lines, not a lot of plot points, but yeah, good lines. I just want to say, look, I know that it's, I just can't believe that in this day of Me Too, and I know boating, I keep telling my brain, boating's a different thing.
Me Too was 5 years ago, sadly.
That's true.
We wonder if things changed. Now things did, but who knows?
Seeing Gary just kind of go up to Scarlett and just kiss her on her neck on the boat, that made me cringe because it was just, you just met her.
They hooked up the night before, though.
They did?
Yeah. They were kissing.
I guess they were kissing.
Yeah.
Wait, they were? I thought this was the first time they kissed.
No, they were kissing before.
I watched that. I don't remember that.
They were kissy-kissy before.
Okay, that makes it a little better.
Yeah.
Or a lot better.
I don't remember that. It felt weird for me.
Sorry, I'm jet-lagged. It feels like 3 weeks.
It felt weird for me to be during duty.
Yeah, it just felt so...
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think, though, and this is, I'm not saying that she's asking for it by any means. She is giving him the green light.
Oh, you know, y'all, whenever he said, I think I have a little crush on you, and her response was, is this a poodle move where she said the feeling might be mutual? Or what would you say if a guy said, I think I'm getting a crush on you?
Well, that's interesting. What are we going to do about that?
Oh, Jesus.
What do we do about that? Maybe I could say the feeling's mutual. You'll have to prove it to me later.
I'm sorry I asked.
Yo, I'm keyed the fuck up with these British boys. With these bearded, beautiful British boys. The BBBBs everywhere.
Who are going to give you the BB.
Who are going to give me the BB.
So I saw someone brought her BBD. Economy-sized Costco prep.
They're like, sir, this won't fit in your bag.
Yeah, it will.
I have to take 5 a day.
I have a feeling.
It's a rainbow.
Oh, really?
There's a rainbow and it's over the church.
Oh, really? A rainbow in London.
I am high as a kite.
You are on
English breakfast.
Oh, isn't that nice? Look at that.
That is gorgeous. I just had a moment.
Oh, good.
Shut up.
It is. You're not going to dinner tonight, are you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I might have spotted dick for dinner.
Woo!
Wow. Let's talk about the show so I can kind of get myself back into...
We got to get this because, yeah.
Y'all, there's all these Ethan Hawke looking motherfuckers all over the city. Not Ethan Hawke now.
No, what's your next tea bag?
Ethan Hawke in like Before Sunrise and Reality Bites.
Oh, God.
Whew.
Just
and if you know you know what it did to you when you watched Ethan Hawke in Reality Bites. Yes, he was a douche, but we all remember what it was like when we saw Troy. You never saw that movie, did you?
No, it was grunge people watched it, and I didn't want to watch that. I was too busy watching
You say I'm a snob. You were a snob.
Oh, I was. I was totally a snob in high school, for sure. Besides, I was watching the new version of Gypsy with Bette Midler in high school. That's what I loved.
Branching out.
Still
from
my
your
favorite
normal.
Gypsy, yes.
So I liked it when the charter guest that were talking about making food and the charter guest was like, he can do whatever he wants. And I went, that's a good policy.
Yes.
Just let the man do what he wants.
I mean, have your restriction, but oh, Jesus. Wow.
Later on.
You know what, y'all? That's the show. We'll be back later when Poodle's been calmed.
Later on, they said, tonight is wigs and sequins. Also a good policy.
I enjoy that. Can we talk about these wigs?
Oh, my God. I thank you for saying this. I thought this was going to be like, I thought these were going to be wigs that weren't joke wigs.
I mean, no, because look.
These were rave wigs that you buy from Amazon.
Yeah, we bought just wretched, janky-ass wigs.
Yeah.
Many of them. These were not Vivica Fox collection quality.
And this is, y'all, when you wear wigs like this, it almost says you're making fun of wig wearing.
Yes.
In general. Wig wearing is serious.
You know what? I'm glad you brought this up, y'all. Wig wearing is a real thing, and it needs to be acknowledged.
And respected.
And respected. It is an art form, and it is a legitimate form of expression. And if you have a problem, and you're walking around wearing joke wigs, you might want to process that.
Or if you want to get...
Respect the strands.
Even get a colored wig, but make it not look like that you bought it $3 for $1 at Party City.
Again, a Vivica Fox wig is $19.99.
That's true.
And they're wonderful.
It is not human hair.
No.
But they could pass in dim lighting for real hair.
For sure. For sure. Especially the shorter ones.
They're affordable.
That are chunky. They look very real.
Yeah. I have several Vivica Fox collection wigs.
They look wonderful on you.
Anyway, I had a problem with this because these were, and the way that the women were wearing them was not respectful at all.
No.
They were jutted off to the side.
No.
And then Captain Glenn saying, "Where's my wig?" And they just brought him some Mylar. I'm sorry. These were people at this. These are wigs that people at a rave have.
Yeah, I just want to think about, y'all, there are wig makers out there doing their best, and they look at this, and it's just hurtful.
You got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
You got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. I don't know who sings that song.
I don't. Kenny Chesney? Am I wrong?
No.
I don't know. I don't know that song. I've heard it before. Something about be a puppet on a string?
Oh, I thought so. It's Aaron Tippin.
Oh.
Really buff guy.
Why was he part of my sexual awakening?
You know,
that's not a question to ask.
Well,
you know, saying, why was the sky blue?
He was hot to me because he looked like Alan Jackson.
No, he didn't.
He's no.
Brunette.
Yeah, Aaron Tippin. He looked like Alan Jackson.
Aaron Tippin is dark-haired.
No. Our neighbor, Alan Jackson. They, they did. They live right behind us. It was because their daughter, Katie Jackson, is the one who used to watch me play color guard. Her dad, I just saw him the other day because Katie's son graduated from middle school graduation. She's the one that started Ardmore Pride, Katie Jackson.
I would like to explain... to all non-country music sissies who even heard of Alan Jackson before, like British sissies or international sissies, Alan Jackson is a very noted country singer.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And when he said he said Aaron Tippin looked like Alan Jackson, I said, what's wrong with you? No, he doesn't.
No.
But he was talking about, sorry to explain the joke, he was talking about a man he knew.
Aaron Tippin, he was buff.
Ooh,
he was really buff. But yeah,
that was absurd. We need to move on.
If I showed you a picture of Alan Jackson, you would look the same.
We need to move on.
He and his wife Debbie finally just got divorced too, after like
finally,
well, 20 years of being separated.
Oh, I see.
My dad dated Debbie. It didn't go well.
Well, your father, God rest his soul, didn't have a really good track record.
I think he was into her more than she was into him.
So
anyway,
what's your next teabag that's not about Alan Jackson, your neighbor?
You know, speaking
as opposed to the country singer.
Speaking of Debbie, his ex-wife.
God, no, am I?
This reminded me of, there's a Mother Debbie on this boat. The mother's name is Debbie. And I have to say, I loved her sequin. This looked like a boating sequin jacket that she was wearing with the black and the gold kind of nautical. This was well thought out. Again, it was ruined by this wig, but her wig was the worst of all. But I really, really enjoyed her jacket. It looked like something you and I would wear when we start going to dinner in our 60s.
Yes.
In Palm Springs, for sure.
I can't reiterate how appalled I was by the wigs. When they said wigs and sequins, I thought beehives, maybe.
Come on.
But this was...
like, give him a Captain Hook wig. He's a captain. Make a thing of it.
Yeah, it's really awful.
It's horrible.
Awful. What's your next teabag?
That was it. Mother Debbie's jacket. That was literally my teabag. I loved it. That jacket needed its own point.
I'm going to parallel universe.
You know what? We should. You should figure out where you are, and we're going to take a commercial.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart,
and even keep going queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
And we're back from London.
We're not, back from
not,
London.
We're not back from London. We're no. back while doing the podcast yes. in London. We didn't travel
no.
11 hours in the space of that break.
No. Is there still a rainbow outside?
There is.
Oh, that's good.
I want to go. That's a sign. I want to slide down that and onto a dick.
Wow. Boy, you're...
You know what? The thing about it is...
They're very hot here, guys.
It only got worse after I banged someone earlier on the
Well,
the
he served you tea afterwards, he you did. Said.
Y'all, get you a British boy who gives you... Well, he served me tea before, and he said, please take your tea with you while you leave. And that's, lock up on the way out.
That's so nice.
I know.
So nice.
It was great because...
Oh, God.
I said, I'm going to be somewhere. And he's like, me too. So we both... I'm like, I'm going to a wedding, which was true. And he's like, I'm going out with friends tonight. So it was the perfect thing.
You don't care if that's true.
I don't care. He did get a call like when we were screwing around and he got up to answer it because he was waiting for friends.
Oh, okay.
But we were, it was happening during a time that was a natural break in
the not like coitus. The time where I was giving a blowjob and the guy looked on his phone. Yeah.
No, it was a time where... We were.
I don't need the details.
we were adjusting positions.
That's fine.
Oh my God!
You couldn't breathe because your head was in the pillow for too long, and he had to like take you out to get air. We gotta go. We're gonna get an Apple Podcast review about. They're funny, but they talk about sex so much.
This episode needs to be marked. Disgusting.
You know what though? I enjoy. I'm not going to say who, but we had a lunch today with some friends, and they were all women, and they were talking about Poodle's gift. And you know what they said? They said, "But you know what I appreciate about your show?" And we said, "What?" And they said, "You say the things that women think, but we don't get to say because it's not polite for a woman to say
gay guys.
So we'll be gross for you.
And you know what? Fuck all that shit, y'all.
Fuck it.
You can. You know, if being impolite is being frank about sex." Fuck that. Politeness isn't that.
No.
If you're in a group of women and some woman's like, oh my God, let's not talk about that. First of all, you can say, who invited Brenda?
Yeah. Who invited Brenda? And also, Brenda hasn't had an orgasm in 10 years.
And you should say, stick around, Brenda.
Maybe you'll learn something.
Hashtag, who invited Brenda?
Who invited Brenda? Let's put that on a shirt. We really need to update our merch.
Oh, what's your next? Who invited Brenda to this Arbonne party?
I do like some Arbonne products. I love it.
Don't mention. I don't want to talk about MLM.
I already have my person who gives me stuff. Don't come at me.
I don't want to do that.
I got my seller.
So,
funnily enough,
my
Alan Jackson's cousin. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
My next tea bag.
Yes.
Is, I thought of you when I saw this.
What?
Gary wants a stew to go with them on the tender to serve drinks. And obviously, because Scarlett's the most inexperienced, he thinks that that's going to be there. Daisy says, I'm going to go with him to prove a point. And I thought of you with wanting to prove points.
I wrote down, Daisy's going to be a mar.
I wrote that down too.
Because she's right. Because actually, I didn't know the situation. So as they were talking, because Daisy is saying, this is, there's no point for someone on us to be here. You can just serve drinks.
Right.
And Gary's trying to say, no, no, it looks unprofessional. No, no, we need. And he's like, and he does try to say, I'm just more concerned about the guest.
Right.
And so, which Daisy's like, fuck you. I'm always thinking about the guest. And when they were talking, I kind of thought, you know, Daisy, I think Gary's right. You should be professional. Cut to, they're on a fucking inflatable life raft. There's no reason for Daisy. And as she was on there going, just acting like she, Daisy was acting like she was fucking Gwyneth Paltrow serving drinks on that international flight on that movie where she was a flight attendant. Just so proud.
You from the top?
Yes. I loved that movie.
I never saw that film. I just know, I remember the movie poster of it.
Yes. And so she was just.
Sounds like a porn.
Wow. But she did that with such, I'm going to not only serve them, I'm going to be so just uppity and formal as I'm on this fucking lifeboat. Well done.
She is interesting to me because she'll have professionalism one moment or be a good manager, and then the next that's one of my tea bags, be so unprofessional talking to Scarlett about things that Gary did.
So that was one of my, I'm glad that was a great way to bring that
up. It's just, that's not a good managerial tactic.
It's not at all. And what my tea bag, I wanted to ask you, because honestly, I don't know the answer. Why? Why is Scarlett bringing this up? Because a lot of people, you said that you feel like they're kind of just trolling people, lighthearted trolling people with
about
Gary and Daisy
them
and their
saying,
relationship.
Going public. They're not together.
So you don't think they're together. And actually, I don't really think they are either. No. So then why is she so upset at Gary and going off? Like, what is up? I don't know.
They've been working together too long and they're the same person.
They are very much alike. Yes.
Although he's more professional than she is.
Everyone, but on the,
you know, in a weird way, his professionalism ends when the guests are.
Yeah, I agree.
But, and Daisy will falter with that. But I feel like what you see with him is what you get. And sometimes Daisy has to play. Now, she's got a harder job in some ways, where it's dealing with the guests and the stews.
Yeah, whereas Gary can kind of, he can make his own
gonna
schedule.
Everyone's going to love him. And I think Daisy really plays the hand she's dealt well, because she's not loved entirely, but people like her a lot more than a lot of the other chief stews we've had.
No, I like Daisy a lot.
She runs hot and cold for me.
It's just, I like her. I would not want to work for her.
No.
I think it would be very stressful. And ironically, I can see why even though Gabriella left, Gabriella was kind of the same way too, where she'd be hot and cold. I see how they can relate. Yeah. And honestly,
she was on What's What Happens Live after this episode.
Who?
Gabriella.
Gabriella.
And she was talking about, she's like, I really didn't know that Ashley hated me the whole time.
She didn't?
She did. She's like, when I watched the show, she's like, I just didn't know the extremity of her hate for me. And she said it in a way, but she actually said that, she's like, I think Daisy handled the whole situation the best she could.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're that young, you're that clueless. How could you know that she can't stand? Not know that she can't stand you.
I think Gabriella was in a dinner haze of her own issues. But I want to talk about that kind of idea of when you're working, especially when you're new or the youngest and the greenest, and a lot of times your managers, there won't be boundaries sometimes, especially when you're working in small groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a golf course grill
with
women. Don't you even, oh Jesus. I'm not going on in Oklahoma rant about Alan Jackson. This goes with it. But what I'm saying is I worked there with a woman, these two women, they were both, one was in her late 30s and one was in her probably late 40s. They had both been married before. I knew every detail about both of these women's relationships and divorces.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 20 years old. I worked in college.
Mm.
And I would listen to her what one of the current marital problems, and I was just like, yeah, that's tough. And I was just this 20-year-old gay boy while we were serving hamburgers at a golf course grill, and they just opened up to me because that's what happens when you're serving. Now, do I think this was professional? No. But once you get in a small space like that,
mm-hmm.
where you have a coworker, they really push each other's buttons. And yeah. both Daisy and Gary have short fuses.
Yes, and they...
But yeah. in a way, that's good because you get it out.
They let things go.
Yeah. But I've got to say, that point where Gary said, I'm sorry, Daisy. I was a shit to you. And Daisy's like, what's going on right here? That's all it takes.
That's all it takes for him to say, you had a right to be angry.
Yeah.
He validated her anger, and she's like, it's done. Don't worry about it.
And weirdly, even if he didn't apologize, I'm glad he did. The next day, because both of them
they
know
been fine.
They're good at their jobs,
mm-hmm.
they would be fine.
Yeah.
Which is the difference between last season's Below Deck and even last season's Below Deck Med.
Yeah.
There's a
trust in knowing that when you're working as a team, if you know no matter what, you trust the job will get done. But if you don't trust the job.
Totally. What's your next tea bag?
Let's see. We talked about that.
Oh, there's one quote. They have these at P.F. Chang's and they're so good.
They're so good. Y'all, I get it. You might not have had duck very much. We just had duck here. But if you are scared to
eat duck. I don't want to eat a cooked duck.
It's the same thing as fucking chicken. I'm saying
I understand what you're saying. I would say I'd go the other way and say, so why don't you? I guarantee you they eat chicken like it's going out of style.
Yes.
And I would ask.
They eat beef. We see them eat beef.
I would ask, what's the difference? Do you think that a duck is cute or you had a stuffed duck?
Because you thought Donald Duck is cute, whereas the rooster from Looney Tunes, no one gives a shit about him.
And
what's his name?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn.
I say,
no one cares about me.
I might have been modeled after a Southern racist general.
Yes. Eat me up. Meanwhile, we don't care.
It is interesting. And that just shows you how completely irrational our food fears are. And it's kind of like, I've seen this with people with venison. They're like, oh, I can't eat a deer. It's beautiful.
Deer are just big rats when you live in Oklahoma. They're
overpopulated where I grew up.
Same. They get in your trash. It's like might as well be a possum or an armadillo.
Don't know if we actually go that far, but
I'm just saying.
You
drive on a road where there's deer running in front of you for 4 hours when you have to get somewhere, you'll think differently about them.
In a lot of areas, deer are very overpopulated, which is why deer season for hunting is usually the longest season in hunting in the U.S.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm sure some
of quail season's only one day sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never even seen a quail, I don't think.
Oh, quail hunting is big in South Carolina.
Yeah, no, we don't have a lot of quail. We do deer and then hog.
Yeah, hog is big.
There's hog hunting because hogs are mean.
You know how you kill a hog, right?
Tell it to lie down. I don't know.
No, you stab it in the neck.
Oh, you shoot it and then you...
No, you don't shoot one. You stab it.
You wait for the hog to come to you and you just find it and stab it in the neck? But what if they've got...
I think you do shoot it.
Because boars have tusks and they'll like fucking...
We should have given a trigger warning about hunting animals.
Anyway, we'll move on.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll drop this. Look at the rainbow.
Oh,
just imagine,
it's a dog. It's cute.
And just imagine Poodle sliding down that rainbow to a pot of dick. Boom.
Ba-ding. Ba-ding. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Harder. Wow. Wow.
This episode's off the rails.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
I don't think I have.
So I talked about Daisy.
They're racing, y'all. We're going to race a boat. Barnaby's excited. Barnaby's got a hard on for racing.
Well, he just wants to live the life and he doesn't really want to work. Oh, I know what my teabag is. You forgot about this. I know you have opinions. Let's talk about the Scarlett and Ashley conversation, because Scarlett goes up to Ashley and basically, y'all, this is going to backfire on Scarlett. Scarlett thinks that Ashley is a rational thinking woman, or she's just covering her ass, but she's like, yeah, Gary's, you know, he's coming on to me really strong. Does that bother you? And you see Ashley's face kind of just go, and she's just screaming in her head, bitch, 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 bitch.
No, but it's going to be really bad.
It's going to be bad, but she's just kind of like,
you can do it if you want to.
You know,
y'all, when
Daisy warned you, though.
If your girlfriend, if you a girl who's hooked up with the guy you're seeing or hooked up with the guy you're going to hook up with says, you can hook up with him if you want to.
Now, granted,
that does not mean do
it's
it.
It's not. Now, granted, they're not friends at all.
No, they're not.
They're not even acquaintances.
But they're co-workers.
But they're co-workers.
Which to me is even more dangerous.
Y'all, because here's the deal. Scarlett is a woohoo girl.
She is. And
she is.
And I'm a little concerned that knowing that there are only three charters left, I think you can on the boat, you can have your fun, but every woman on the boat, probably some of the men are saying, this is already an untenable situation with Ashley, and also Gary is enmeshed with Daisy.
Yes, it's really so pretty unprofessional. Professional Gary.
So
really.
you might want to remove yourself from the equation, because I guarantee you there are better men than Gary and better dicks. So if you can think about getting your rocks off later, but I don't think Scarlett is really in that moment. I think she joined yachting to have a good time.
I mean, again, why isn't anybody...
Which is fine.
And yeah, exactly. I mean, Gary, he's cute. Don't get it. We're totally into him. But no one's going to dick you down like Marcus or Colin.
Colin has a girlfriend, so he's not going to do
that. Oh, then Marcos is the way.
I would agree. I think Marcos
is the way.
Too professional.
Yeah. God, but he just smiles and all his teeth are perfect.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
That's all I've got.
I wanted to talk about that. I just wanted to mention a great quote. Boy, typical hashtag so Ashley of, yeah, she's fine. I just have to tell her what to do all the time.
And
it's exhausting. Wait, so she's already throwing Scarlett under the bus.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to have a riff, or do you think Scarlett's going to play dumb and let it roll off of her?
If Scarlett is smart, which I don't know if she is yet, she will know that it's better to keep Ashley as a friend and stay on her good side for the next three charters.
And not fuck around with Gary?
I think she thinks she can do both.
You can't not, but not with Ashley.
But, however, Ashley will not go at Scarlett to her face.
No, she won't.
And Scarlett is a little savvy, because she makes herself... Ashley is never going to punch down.
Yes.
So, because she's too afraid to.
Yeah.
So she's going to... She'll be loving being, in her mind, superior to Scarlett. So she's going to kind of take pity on her.
Yeah.
In a way. But she'll talk bad about her with other people. But in their own relationships, I think they could have a good working relationship.
I think so too, actually.
Yeah.
If she plays it right.
She might treat her like shit if she winds up hooking up with Gary, but that won't be Scarlett will be smart saying, "Yeah, I just did it. It was stupid." And then they will bond.
And she'll bitch about Gary.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
That's what I would do.
But not
I'd
today.
Say, "Oh my God, I hooked up with Gary. What am I doing? Sister, help me."
Not happening today. Scarlett, get your ass down there, do the laundry. That's my Daisy.
Okay.
That was really funny, honestly.
Scarlett, I love it when she says, "And here's the main saloon."
The saloon.
When Daisy says, "Saloon." Such an Irish drawl. She's like, "Here's our main saloon."
Scarlett says again that she feels like Daisy has a vibe for him and it's freaking out. But I kind of feel like that's all fraudacity. I think they're just playing that up.
I think they've... Neither of them would ever really do it because neither of them are really interested in the other. Gary loves messing with Daisy in that way. And in a way, Daisy... This sounds like a really terrible dig towards Daisy, but... Daisy would never be vulnerable enough to Gary to say, "If we did hook up, it would be a good time."
No.
So,
never.
So Gary knows that, which is why he can play that way. And it's the way he can get... See, Gary, that to make friends with a woman is so rare for Gary.
Yeah.
And so that's why he cherishes his relationship with Daisy.
You're in love with Gary, aren't you?
I think all of us are a little in love with Gary.
I asked you that because I knew my answer.
I think all of us
are. God, he's such a dog, but he's just so hot and charming.
I think there's a quality to his confidence that we are attracted to. And he doesn't... When he does fuck up and get shitty, he almost always apologizes for it.
Yeah.
And I, there's something about him that is compelling to watch.
He's just so comfortable in his own skin.
That's it.
It really is just hot. Uh-oh. Did somebody knock on the door?
I think it was. Maybe clicked and dunk. I think that's the show.
I think it's just my neighbor getting railed in the other side. I heard him this morning having sex.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah. The walls were thin. Either he was watching porn, but I think he was actually having sex.
With a girl or guy?
Yeah, I think with the woman.
Otherwise, well, that's no fun.
Otherwise, I would hear harder, and I would go, "Why does that sound like Jake?" And then I'd suddenly hear, "Ooh," or whatever, and then,
then me reaching down to get the ice pick.
Yes,
it's basic instinct style.
Yes, and then
I don't murder all of them.
And then I hear, "My eyes have seen the glory." And I went, "Oh, yeah, that's Jake." All right, everybody. On that, this was a fun show to talk about today. It was. I had fun. What a life. We're looking outside at a beautiful view in London at a rainbow podcasting. We couldn't be here without
seeing the chimneys that they got 6-year-old British little urchins to clean because they were small.
They did. And that got
the Victorians knew everyone had their place in Victorian life.
Everyone had their place.
Oh,
anyway,
those tiny little arms, they could get up there.
Thank you all for your support. And thank you again to our podcast network, Acast, who invited us out to speak to the podcast show, which you've already missed. So anyway, y'all, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to. But until next time we talk to you, we'll be back in the United States.
In the new world.
Come see us. Live shows are coming up in 2 weeks. If you haven't gotten your tickets now, what
two
are you
weeks.
Doing? Two and a half weeks. We're going out on tour.
2.5 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
That just scared me.
It did.
You scared me.
You scared me. Well, y'all get your tickets now because some of them are going quickly. All right. But until then, we'll talk to you next time. We'll be in the United States. But until then, everyone,
Anchors again.
Gay.
sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.